Our next guest, you can catch him on Hockey Night in Canada and the NHL on Sportsnet. He is David Amber. He joins us right now on the program, Sportsnet 650. Good afternoon. How are you?
Gentlemen, it's been a while. Happy, what do you say, happy end of summer, happy hockey season?
Yeah, it's, well, technically it's still summer, although it's rained here for about 2 straight weeks, so it feels like hockey season. You're right.
The best aspect of that, David, is that the only day where the sun has come out and it's been a glorious, typical Vancouver sunny day in the last 2 weeks was yesterday, and Walker went home sick. The only day.
That sounded like someone had to get to the patio quickly, if you know what I mean.
Now, hey, that's rumors and speculation and hearsay and slander, all of the above. David Amber joins us on Sportsnet 650. What did you make of the Bufflin thing yesterday? We're so used to seeing stories like this in the National Football League where hey, boy, someone just decides they've perhaps had enough or are weighing their options. Bufflin does it, and we're waiting to kind of hear details. He does it in Winnipeg. And not only that, but the timing of it, like, it could not be worse timing for the Winnipeg Jets. What did you make of it, David?
Well, I mean, I think, and I don't know Dustin Bufflin. I've interviewed him a couple of times, but I don't know him. I know what people tell me about him, and what people tell me about him is he's generally a pretty simple guy. He likes to hunt. He likes to fish. He likes the outdoors. He loves hockey, but it doesn't really, it's not what he necessarily identifies himself with exclusively. He has a life outside of the game. You got to factor in a few things here. Again, I have no idea if he's leaning towards leaving the game or not, but here are some things to consider. He has won a Stanley Cup. He has made an incredible amount of money to take care of him, his family, his family's family, etc. He suffered a number of injuries in the previous year. I think he only played half the games for the Jets. He also suffered a concussion, one of those injuries. When you put all that together, there is a blueprint possibly to someone who says, I've had enough. I've gotten everything out of this game and more than I ever could have dreamed of. It's been great to me. I've loved it. But unless I'm 100% committed, I don't want to put my body through that. I don't want, put my family through it necessarily if I'm, don't meet. There are some reasons why, he quite possibly could be retiring. As far as the timing of it, though, it's tough. Listen, we're civilians. It's hard to put ourselves in the mindset of a professional athlete. It's not as, we look at it as, oh my God, you're living the dream. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Why would you ever give it up? People say that about our jobs all the time. And I love our jobs, we love our jobs. But there's other sides to it as well, right? So I think we need to just take a step back. He probably reflected all summer, and he probably, wasn't ready to make a lifetime decision. I think he's due that. He's allowed that. He's built up enough equity with that team and in the league to take the time he needs to make this decision. I don't begrudge any athlete or any person who's taking the right time to make the decision that's right for them. For those who view it as selfish, I wouldn't say it's selfish. I don't think he's doing this purposely to hold out against the team. I just think there's a lot to consider, and I think that's what he's doing, guys.
I agree with everything you just said, David, and yet what makes it so compelling is that whichever way Dustin Bufflin decides to lean here when he is ready to make up his mind, it sets off a chain reaction of events. Because if Dustin Bufflin is back, that means one thing to how they go about trying to sign Laine and Connor. If he's not back, well, there's salary cap room, no problem, but you're missing a defenseman, and now you might need to trade for one. Kevin Cheveldayoff's in a very, very interesting situation, isn't he?
Well, it's so funny. So much was made this offseason about Kyle Dubas, at least here in Toronto, and the decisions he had to make, and what are you going to do? How are you going to get the cap space for Mitch Marner? And these were true, legitimate problems and issues. But I don't think anyone has had to deal with as much as Kevin Cheveldayoff right now. He's got two very elite forwards who want to get paid, quote, want to get paid handsomely, and it's playing itself out in the media, certainly in the case of Patrick Laine. We don't seem to be making much progress with Laine or Connor. And then you factor in, the changeover on that team, guys, and it's been immeasurable. I mean, they don't look, the core is still there, but they've really changed up their blue line from that team we saw a few games away from making it to the Stanley Cup final just 2 years ago. And now Byfuglien could be the latest casualty. It really looks different. You know, Myers, of course, out with Vancouver, as you guys know. And you've had two and three other guys leave as well. It's been this slew of guys not there on the blue line that we were there 2 years ago. So this could be a very distinct. It could go from, you know, sort of their third priority, what we're going to do on the blue line, to their first priority if Byfuglien's going to hang them up. So, if I'm Kevin Cheveldayoff, I'm really sitting there saying, you know, I'm going to give you all the time you need, Dustin, but man, can you help me out and make a decision?
Yeah, selfish is certainly the wrong word, but it is interesting timing because you wonder if the team did know about this, would they have made a bigger run at a guy like Tyler Myers, who is now here in Vancouver? And by the way, Myers made his debut the other day and was really good. I really liked Myers playing for Vancouver the other night.
Yeah, you know what? Jim Benning deserves some praise, and I know he takes a lot of flack out in Vancouver, and I know the track record of the team has been anything but spectacular, and you know, it's been four straight years out of the playoffs and everything else. But I think kudos to Jim Benning. The highest paid guy on your roster is at $6 million. You'd be hard-pressed. I haven't gone through all 31 teams, but I went through a handful of teams, and I can't find a team where the highest paid guy is $6 million. And have mistakes been made? Sure, mistakes have been made, but they're correctable mistakes, and they're not the types of mistakes that bury you for 5 and 6 and 8 and 10 years. You can get out from under a $5 million mistake, and I know Louis Erickson has not performed at all to the level that contract would merit, but in this day and age, a $6 million contract, there's ample guys across the league who are making $6 million, and some of them have earned it, some of them haven't, or are earning it, and some of them aren't. But those aren't egregious mistakes that bury you. And to think, you know, and I'm living here in Toronto where you have three guys now on the cusp of $11 million or over $11 million and elite great players. But, I mean, a $6 million threshold for your highest paid players isn't a bad thing. So the Myers pickup, I think, was solid. And adding the depth on the forward end with Ferland, I think that was a good move. JT Miller could provide you some as well. So I think this is actually a really good spot Vancouver sees themselves going into this season with.
While we're talking money, David Amber of Hockey Night in Canada joining us here. It's the program Walk and Rental, Sportsnet 650. The Mitch Marner contract was obviously used in the last couple of days as the comparable for Mikko Rantanen. And Mike Leut came on this station. He said, that's the guy. That's who we compare him to. And it's an apt comparison. And yet, I don't think most of us believe Mikko Rantanen is going to end up with that number in Colorado on a long-term deal because of the disparity between what point to you to both Rantanen and probably Braden Point down in Tampa Bay signing bridge deals?
Very well could. It very well could. And, Brock Besser is a great example. I think that was another great job by Jim Benning, getting him in at a decent number. And I can see it from Brock Besser's side, too. It's 3 years, and you're going to make a windfall, theoretically, as long as you keep up this production and keep on the trajectory you're on and stay healthy. But you're absolutely right. And I think that's the downside. When you talk to players, that is the downside of the salary cap era for them. Is it used to be, hey, man, go get yours. I'm happy for you. And it's not like guys aren't happy. Guys are happy when their teammates get paid. But that also means when the guy in the stall next to me is making all this money, that's less money that I can conceivably get. And that's just how it is. So you're right. I don't think Rantanen, as good as he is, and I honestly, you might put him at the top of that RFA list this year. He's that good. He can't walk into the dressing room and be earning 50% more than Nathan MacKinnon and even more than Landeskog. I mean, it just can't happen. And so the comparables aren't what other guys on other teams are making. The comparables are what are the guys on your team making. And that's what's changed the dynamic. And it works for some GMs. And we've seen it work for some GMs, most notably Don Sweeney. You know, when he's talking to McAvoy and talking to guys who are pending free agents and they want $8, $9, $10 million, so he's going to say, you're going to come in at $2 million more than Pasternak, $2 million more than Bergeron and Marchand. It won't work. And a guy has to almost step into line because of that. So for some GMs, it works great. And for other GMs, it could be a problem. And quite frankly, Mitch Marner, he had to get that much money simply because he's sitting there saying, well, I had more points than Austin Matthews. I had more points than John Tavares. I was the one assisting on a lot of Tavares' goals. I'm the one driving the offense. I need to get paid. And you knew it was going to have to be a big number, and ultimately it was.
He is David Amber, Hockey Night in Canada. The Leafs and the way they've built it, it's interesting simply because, hey, we have a copycat league, and people are curious whether it's going to work. It's a good problem to have, having all these good players. I get it. But they're the most top-heavy team in the history of our game now between Matthews, Tavares, Marner, and Nylander. It doesn't leave a lot on D. I mean, they're certainly lucky to have Morgan Rielly in at such a good number, but their entire defense corps outside of Rielly are free agents after this year. Is it going to work, David? Do you have more concerns or optimism about the way this thing's constructed?
Oh man, if I knew if it was going to work or not, my goodness, I'd be working for one of the teams, I suppose. I have no idea. We've never seen anything like this before. I mean, Andrew, I don't know what to make of this. I think if you ask the other 30 GMs, hey, would you love to have Marner, Matthews, Tavares on your team? They're unanimously going to say, yeah. Hey, do you want those three guys for $33 million? I'm not sure they're all going to say, yeah, I do. I think some would say, we'll take our chances because they're that good. And some would say, no, thank you. I mean, again, I go back to Boston. They have their three stars, Bergeron, Marchand, and Pasternak for less than $20 million.
Yeah.
Would you rather those three at less than 20, or would you rather the Leafs three at 33? And, I mean, they're good problems to have because most GMs don't have those types of players on their roster. But I don't know. I don't know if this blueprint's going to work. I think that's what the folks at MLSC are banking on. They are banking on, we can mix and match in guys. We can find the gap fill, the fourth line guys. We can find the 5-6 defensemen. We've got a stud defenseman in Rielly on a team friendly deal. We got a stud defenseman in Tyson Barrie, at least for this year. We can run with two pretty good D men who bring a lot of offense. We have no shortage of depth up front, and we've got a great goaltender in Freddie Anderson. We'll fill in the gaps at bargain basement prices and keep the fingers crossed. I'm not answering your question, but essentially I think, you know, they have as good a shot as anyone. Are the Leafs a legitimate Stanley Cup contender? Absolutely. And they have these guys, as they'll say, and Kyle Dubas said this, I have these three guys now locked up for at least the next five seasons. We can stop talking about it, and we can move forward. So it's true. That's a pretty damn good start to a nucleus of a forward group, but it's at a pretty penny.
Hey, it's like the Sportsnet model, right? Like, you get all the dough, and then Rintoul and I are out here fighting for scraps. And together, it all works.
Yeah, I wish that was the case. Trust me. I wish we only had a salary cap, and I was somehow the Mitch Marner of Sportsnet.
What? I was told we had a salary cap.
Yeah, you know what? Those would be interesting meetings, show meetings, if there was a salary cap. I can tell you that
me
much.
And this stupid bridge deal. Thank
you. But I mean, you know, and I do. You know, yeah, you guys asked me about points deal and will it be a bridge deal, and I think that does make sense depending on how the rest of your team shapes up. And if I'm an agent, and maybe some of the advice you're giving. You know, Brock Besser doing a 3-year deal. There's going to be a new U.S. TV deal coming up in the horizon. The timing might be perfect. And if Brock Besser, you know, keeps scoring high 20s, low 30s for the next 3 years, he'll get paid, and he'll get paid handsomely. And you have to assume and consider Seattle's coming in. That'll be a high revenue team, you know, bringing profits up. And a new TV deal will hopefully bring profits up. It could be a lucrative thing where the salary cap somehow escalates by $5, $6, $7 million. And guys like Besser could be getting really well paid. So it's a calculated risk, but maybe Point and Rantanen are going to fall into that group too. The biggest difference is, I believe Point is 25 years old. So I think for him, he doesn't want to bank on as a 28 year old to get paid or a 29 year old to get paid. Right. Or it could be wrong. Actually, Point might be not quite that old, but I think
not
he's
quite
a little bit older.
No, not quite.
Than Besser.
Yeah.
Was he 24 maybe?
Yeah, because he didn't play as an 18-year-old. Yeah.
So.
He is David Amber. We got to let you go because we got to play Name That Nuck. Do you have a guess? Would you like to try to name that nuck?
What, I'm going to hear his voice?
No, just name one.
Sportsnet 650.